14.3 Carter Speech Advisory Committee, Councilor Muse advises that he will present that at the next meeting on July 9th. 14.4, traffic assessment of Old Falls Road, Liverpool. Councilor Fancy?
Yes, I've had the chance to discuss with some people on Old Falls Road, and it's, you know, of course, as everyone just knows, it's Thursday of Pride, and there's a lot of discussion, a lot of things that we'd like to talk more about before we go into making this into a motion. So I'd like to have a motion, I'd like to put a motion forward to defer to July 23rd council meeting to be able to go forward with the recommendation. Going from July 9th, because that's over Caledonia.
Defer to July the 25th meeting.
25th?
23rd, excuse me.
Yeah.
July 23rd meeting.
Yeah.
Seconded to that, Councilor Frehley. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. So that will be deferred to the 23rd. Brings us to 14.5. The item which was added, the order, Bristol Avenue, Liverpool area. Would you like to take the lead on this discussion?
Okay, I'll just bring here for open discussion, because this odor isn't new, let's put it that way. It's, we've had it in the past, it's been there. This year in particular, it is getting rancid, and it's getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of discussion about it, because, and I know, and when our CEO comes back, he can be able to tell what the region has done to make sure that it isn't on our end, so we can be able to look at where the problem originates from and what we've done here on our behalf, so that everybody else will know. And the discussion is where we are and what we're looking at is the future, because though it's naturally occurring, it can have great effects on a lot of things. We can have even festivals and everything else. So I'll open it up to that.
And yeah, Councilor Fox?
The odor is new. The intenseness of it is very new. And from the municipality's aspect, we have a sewage treatment facility with holding pond. We meaning municipality, staff, the Department of Environment have been on site, and as of Friday, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it has been determined that it is not coming from the holding pond or our system. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay. They've done their due diligence. Our staff have worked hard to try to determine if it is coming from that. If it was coming from that, it would be quite obvious. I understand that Works Department have cleaned out, for lack of a different word, flushed out, cleaned out all the lines to make sure there's nothing in the old system, in the system, that's causing it to come through. There's been tours and visits to the holding ponds by our Works Department with Adam Grant and Mr. Mike McDonald, who was the inspector who came up from the Department of Environment. And I appreciate that visit, because up to that point, it was all through communication and not really, there wasn't a group of people to actually go down and experience it without the fortitude of myself and Councillor Fancy to actually make sure that people actually experience what we've been experiencing and what the general public have been experiencing for the last 3 or more weeks. It's been enough that people down in the Brooklyn area, people in the Fort Point, lower Main Street area, people up in Milton along the Highway Number 8 have experienced it, and their calls have come into the Department of Environment. Calls have been coming in to me, and I'm sure councillors have received calls, and I'm sure the municipality has as well. So So I really appreciate the municipality and staff determining that is not caused by the municipality's system. However, that is not good enough to say it isn't ours. It has to go forward. We have to determine what it is, why it's different from other years. If we can have discussions with environment, if we can have discussions with people that understand what marshes do, how it can be fixed, if it can't be, then we'll have to accept that. But right now, silence is consent, and we do not want to say that we feel that there's nothing we can do. So I really strongly would suggest that we go forward, we can talk with people who are in that field. I've got names of people from Acadia Center for Estuarine Studies. I have no idea what that means, but I'm assuming it has something to do with, and maybe Mayor Dagan, you may know what that is.
More related to tidal areas.
Okay, well, that's a tidal area. I have information that we could contact a representative from the Truro Aquacultural Campus of Dow. They are involved in these types of things. So I think whether it's, I don't want a study, I want findings, I want discovery as to what is actually happening down there, which is certainly different than other years. So I would suggest we take that and we do it. If it's a cost, fine, we'll find the money somewhere. But it's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. If it has to do with environmental, if it has to do with our excess rain that we're getting, we have to make sure that we're going to fix it. We've got tidal situations down in the parking lot. We've gone through a study because it's flooding. Those are situations that are beyond our control, but we're making efforts to fix it. This is dealing with our public. You can protect the environment, you can protect our species, you can protect wetlands for the use of our little creatures. But when it comes to affecting our human quality of life, then I think we have to take it seriously. Thank you.
CAO is back in the room. Just to recap, there was several comments made that this is a new odor. I would disagree that it's a new odor. I would say that it's occurred every spring for a very brief period of time. The intensity is much greater this year than it has been in my memory. So it is a significant impact, whichever way the wind blows from that swamp. And it's been indicated by Councilor McLeod that the environment visit indicated that it was not a result of any activity from our settling ponds and our wastewater treatment system. It was bog related. So that is where we are at this point, CAO. And of course, councilors were asking if you had any update from a region perspective as to what may have transpired in the last several weeks.
Sure. So obviously, councilors have received some complaints. The municipalities obviously received some complaints. And obviously, some have called the Department of Environment, as Councilor McLeod said, and they've come visit. And they've expressed their opinion, but they're not experts. They're simply regulatory agencies. And so, as a municipality, we've been trying to do our due diligence. So we've assessed our sewer treatment plant operations, and there's nothing there that's out of the ordinary. We've actually increased it slightly in order to try to help the situation with the odor. But we're now in a situation where we can't change the system anymore or operate our sewer treatment plant without damaging it. So we're at the max there. And so we've also done some flushing of some of our sewer pipes. Obviously, sewer creates methane gas, and so some of that methane gas comes through the manhole covers. And so in some areas where this initially started, where there was some odors in certain areas, we did flush the sewer pipes in those areas and get rid of any debris that might be in it, and the water coming out the end after that is clear. We've done that in a few locations. And so we continue to monitor that. Our staff are in discussions with other professional engineers and other communities to determine what issues they've had and what solutions they're coming forward with. So the suggestion was made we're not doing anything. That's not the case at all. We actually are still doing research. We are still talking to people. We are still monitoring the situation. I do complain about odors, and I do on occasion check, and I don't smell the stuff that some people smell, but it may be different times of day. But then there are situations where there is the odor, we do smell it. And whether it is the wind, whether it is the bog, whether it is something to do with our sewer treatment plant, nobody knows for perfect storm where we had all the rain and it dissipated the smell, and all of a sudden we had that, a couple weeks ago, we had a really hot weekend, which dried things up and caused the smell to come up and stayed around in some cases. And obviously, as people said, sometimes it's, the smell is worse at low tide. If it's low, it's worse at low tide, and that's a reflection that it's probably organic. And I live near the water, and I know at low tide where I live, the smell is terrible, that the people can't live or open their windows or go outside as well, but that's the nature of organic material near the coast. And so there's lots of speculation by the staff. We don't know what the answer is yet, because we don't know what the problem is yet. You know, there's an odor, but we don't know what's causing it. But we continue to do our due diligence to make sure it's not the region causing it. But we're also looking at solutions to alleviate that odor, or how to deal with it, mitigate it in the future, even if it's not our issue. What we can do to alleviate that. It won't be a simple solution. It won't be a quick fix. We know that, and depending on the nature of what we find for what the problem is, the solution may be very expensive. So the balance may be in the future, do you spend potentially millions of dollars to fix a smell that may occur every year for a couple weeks? We don't know the extent of this, or do we live with that smell for a couple weeks every year if it gets worse? And obviously we talked a little bit about climate change, some of those things going on. So at this point in time, we don't know exactly what the cause is, and there's often factors. And so some could argue that Hank Snow is filled in part of the wetland over there, so they've contributed to it because there's less wetland for that odor to dissipate through and over the bog over there. Some may argue they're helping it, but obviously with the with less wetland, there's less ability to dissipate the any odor that might be there. So that may be a factor as well. But we're guessing at the present time until we get some better information, better research. We'll continue to do that until obviously we find a solution. I'm hopeful that with some warm weather, the smell will go away. If that's the case, then we'll know it is organic. We will know that is the issue. But we still have to find a root cause and try to find some solutions going forward.
So, Councilor Billy.
I think it's brilliant what you're saying, and I appreciate all of it. I think the general public would like to hear that, because the last post that we did about this was very generic and nobody believed it for a second. So I think that if they know that we're concerned and we're taking all the proper steps, then put that in a press release and let them hear that. That's what the public's more concerned about. I mean, the smell is one thing, but if they think we're not doing anything about it, then that is frustrating for a lot of people. So we have the perfect opportunity to say just what our CEO just said, that we're concerned, we're doing everything possible. Give them a little bit of the background of what we've been doing, and then people may understand a little bit better. So, because not addressing it, or addressing it in a gentle kind of way, is also creating the perfect storm, because people are upset about it. So, let's use our communication skills and let people know.
Yes, being over there in, I guess that was that, Mike McLeod?
Mike McDonald.
McDonald, sorry, from the Department of Environment. When we talked with him, that everybody takes the approach, you know, of course I understand where everybody is and saying, okay, if it's a swamp, it's a natural thing. There's nothing you can do about it, but the whole idea is that I look back to where we were with, I've had this said so many times lately, of the mill went down, they thought the Liverpool was going down. And I've talked to people from Bridgewater, and they say, we've got more things, events every weekend than they do down in Bridgewater. Well, these are things that can ultimately affect what we do and how we are. So I think it's a very important thing as well for the people, as for going forward with other things. Now, you know, I like what we're saying we're doing, and what we've done is just been outstanding. But I'm going to be talking with Department of Environment. They're saying, okay, it's like this, and there's nothing we can do. It's wetland. And then I've talked to others who say, well, it's going to cost too much. We can't do anything. Well, whatever we need to do or not do, I think we need to go forward to make sure that we just don't leave it at that saying it's a wetland, and we have to be accepting of that. We have, I think there's things like it could be testing. Like I even talked to him. So I was working down the the ethanol plant in the mill, it's very similar to what, you know, you would see coming out from the ethanol coming back. You'd be able to tell what kind of bugs were there to be able to tell you what kind of a environment they had there, and this testing that can be done. There's a looking at all options that could be done with this, if it has to be, because I think it's very important that we not just kind of monitor, is to find out the options. And maybe the options would be too costly, but at least let's find out what all the options are. I guess that's it. That's my point.
Any other council? Council Flood?
I'd like to make a comment that it is not a natural smell. It's something different. And actually, when the Department of Environment inspector was there, he thought it smelled more of a sulfur smell than a general smell coming from a marshland. Looking at the area, at one time in the past, there was a dike that was there. It's now gone. There's remnants of it there. Why would a dike be built? And what is the purpose of the dike? Just to educate you.
Well, I can give you the information on that structure. It was a flat structure to prevent high tide from backing into the marsh.
Mm-hmm.
Because on a high tide and surge storm, it would fill the marsh with water, and then the runoff from a heavy rain would flood the backyards of those living next to the swamp. So the floodgate was put there to stop the high tide from backing in, to give the swamp the capacity to handle the rain runoff in a heavy rainstorm.
So
that was the purpose of it.
It would have no purpose then to clean out a swamp or to prevent any vegetation rotting or anything like that?
Zero impact. It was
zero
just
impact.
A flood mitigation and flood gate.
It's flood mitigation.
And it was located downstream of the existing road past Hankstone, down there probably 250 feet. You can see.
That's where the brook comes.
The narrow. Yeah, well, the brook runs to the ocean, which basically on a high tide backs into the marsh, probably almost a meter deep.
So what is our next step?
Well, our next step, and it's timely that you ask, because I can share a little bit of information on these situations. Swamps do have a smell every spring. The extent of that smell is, of course, depending on a number of issues. You have leaves, you have rotting materials that's deposited in the fall when the leaves fall off the trees and all the other grass dies. It lays there in the winter, it's cold, it doesn't decompose. In the spring, it warms up, it starts to decompose, it gives off the rotting gas, normally methane. That occurs for a very, very brief period of time normally, and then the new growth takes off and your smell is gone. All swamps behave in that regard. This one, this year, has been much more of a problem than it has in any past year that I can remember. When you're dealing with wetlands, there's specific regulations that the federal and provincial government have. No one touches a wetland without a permit. Permits are not normally issued very easily on wetlands. The traditional way of dealing with wetlands, which Hank Snow had to go through, last year when they infilled 5,000 square feet. They had to get a permit, they had to provide a no net loss policy application, which is required to alter wetland, which means an equal amount of habitat is created somewhere else to offset the loss of wetland habitat that's being altered. They infilled 5,000 square feet on their parking area. They paid Ducks Unlimited almost $5,000 for that 5,000 square feet. As a no net loss payment to allow habitat to be created in lieu of.
So is it $1,000 per square foot? Is that the formula?
It's almost a dollar per square
foot. A dollar per square foot.
Almost a dollar a square foot. So to put it into context, there's also limitations on the size of wetland before you get into an environmental assessment, and that can be anywhere from $200,000 up to $2 million for an environmental assessment. The acreage that you're talking about in the swamp or bog or wetland, whatever you want to term it, next to Hank Snow. The larger wetland above the road and the smaller one directly below the road totals about 21 acres. The no net loss fee to change that from what it is now as a wetland swamp to something as an infill, as an example, would be over $900,000 as a no net loss cost if it were allowed and a permit were issued. So those are the financial issues that you deal with. And if you went in and you were to remove the rotting material that's in that swamp, I can tell you that it's over 12 feet deep, because I trapped in there when I was a teenager, and you can put a 12-foot stick down there at a site with no problem at all. Most of the area, you're walking on roots in those swamps. There are sediment areas that have been lagoons from the harbor that have just filled in with the material that falls. So financially and regulatory-wise, there are obstacles before you can touch any of that, and it's a painstaking process through the permitting process. With Queens County Fish and Game, I worked with Fisheries and Oceans and Provincial Environment for over 3 years to finally get approval to put in a fishway on a small stream on municipal property on the Metapon Brook. The money we had to fund that, we had to give back in the third year, so the project didn't go forward. But it took 3 years to get to that point. So yes, there's abilities, and there's certainly things that we can do to determine the cost. If we get to a potential solution, there's a number of solutions. What the cost of those would be is unknown. But I think you should be aware of those issues, because those are the items that the Region of Queens would need to deal with on that level. Councilor McLeod, you're following. Go ahead.
I hate to dominate the meeting, but it's very important to me.
Yep.
When you talk about the natural, about the fact that the odor is probably, could be coming from an extreme weather system with rain and that sort of thing. Wouldn't that be evident in all marshlands? Down at Meadow Pond Lane, there's no smell, there's nothing. Down at Lower Main Street, in behind, where we used to skate on the marshland, down at the bog, Isn't that a wetland?
It's not impacted by tidal action every time.
Well, then what's tidal action got to do with
Because it
weather?
Introduces salt to the wetland in addition to fresh water.
Well, that has to be some stream of salt going into the marsh. It's right next to the ocean. It's fed by
has tidal action.
Pardon me?
The wetland in back of Hank Snow does have tidal action.
And the marsh down in the lower part of Main Street?
Down at Four Point?
Yes.
No, that has no tidal action.
No tidal action.
Zero.
How do you know that?
Because it's 6 feet higher than high tide.
Well, tides are a lot higher.
It's not that high yet. The town of Liverpool put a dam in there to flood that so that they could skate every year. And I think that anyone who has looked at the structure that was there 30, 40 years ago would remember that it's much, much higher than the tidal level.
Referencing Meadow Pond.
The Metapon is all fresh water. It has a fishway. It doesn't become dry and flooded, dry and flooded. It has a holding level that covers the swamp, the wetland. You
and
have an
tired,
issue in Hank Snow that it goes dry at low tide. It gets filled at high tide. Changes.
So that's what's different is the tidal flow. Is that right?
That would contribute to the spring from winter action of the rotting organics that would be in that area. But normally one would expect that would be a very short process in the spring. It would not prolong as it has this year. And the smell is determined in the areas of Liverpool depending upon the direction of the wind.
Going back to an application,
yep.
And you explained how complex it could be, how costly it could be. I understand that if an application was made for a specific purpose to alter a wetland, it would be a purpose for a use. For example, Hank Snow. Their application was to expand their parking lot area for use. This is completely different. This is something that is affecting the community. It's not an application just because you want something. This would be a different application. It would be a different need to infill if that was permitted.
it would definitely be a different need, and it would be a different purpose.
And I think Department of Environment should know that.
The fact that you are impacting a wetland would trigger an application, which may trigger the no net loss if it alters the wetland. It doesn't matter for what purpose. If you alter a wetland, it kicks in.
Are you sure of that?
I'm positive of that.
So no matter what, if there was a situation that an application was made to alter a wetland, whether it was interfering with a specific community quality of life, smells, I mean, the smell has never been tested. Nothing has been tested in that area. I mean, it just seems like you're not comparing apples to apples.
So let me just clarify very quickly. When you change the operation of a wetland, there's a permit required. Mm-hmm. Environment determines what you can do and what you can't do. Mm-hmm. And of course, if it is a change that triggers a no net loss, there's a fee.
They
will look at issues and they will make that determination. If you're creating a significant impact to a wetland, it doesn't matter for what purpose, there will be fees and charges. They pay it in Halifax all the time along the coast for changes there. And they have a standing no net loss policy along the harbor.
But we can determine whether ours would qualify.
Federal and provincial government will determine whether we qualify and whether we have to.
Depends on our application and how we state our case.
Depends upon the impact of the weapon.
Depends
not the purpose
on
of why we're
doing
it, but the impact of the weapon. It's a process to navigate, there's no question. Councilor Fancy?
Yes, there's so much what we talked about speculation, you know, we don't know what all is going to transpire. I don't believe it's a lot to do with so much to do with rotting leaves and such as the organic and inorganic material. I know that from back down to the mill. You know that from a dumping force manure outside. It's really smelly, then it stops because they become inorganic. It's no food. So, but when you start stirring it up, then you find out how smelly it is again because it starts the bugs. We used to call ourselves bug farmers down at the mill because that's what we had to do is to try to maintain a certain amount of bugs back to the site to be able to eat up the materials that were there. So when you put water in, all of a sudden you're getting bugs to be moved about again, so these inorganics become organic. They become aerobic again. So they're meeting and such, and when they eat and they die, you get the smell. The smell comes off these dead bug bodies. And that's what we used to get down the mill mostly was the dead bug bodies that gave off the smell. So it can be the water affecting that brings us, and that's why testing is so important to find what's there and where we're going. And again, I'm just saying from past experience, I'm not saying this is what this is, but it sounds very much so. You get these bugs moving again. That's when they die, because their cells divide, and that's when they die off, and then the smell comes off with them. So anyway, we won't determine anything until we get the testing and finding out where we are, as long as we're going forward with that.
Well, as the CAO indicated, staff are working on research on the issue to determine what impacts and what does occur naturally and what does not occur naturally. And from that information, there would be a determination as to whether there's anything we can do. If in the next week the smell is gone, then certainly we can look at what we can do to mitigate in the future. But that's an ongoing process, and it certainly is a process that someone who's a biologist, mm-hmm. who works in the field, who has the knowledge,
absolutely.
Would be better qualified to advise what normally is expected in an area such as the wetlands and back to hang snow. To my understanding, we've checked the wastewater treatment facility, and it is operating as required. Environment's been on site. So the next item would be the wetland. There's also the shoreline, which is highly impacted as well. So there may be something from that, but I don't have any information on that. And I don't know if the CAO has any information on that. But until staff are able to pull in some definitive information as to how this process is unfolding, we're in a holding pattern to take any action other than try to determine the cost and then look at what potential solutions might be available. So I have Councilor Duncan.
I've been sitting here listening, and I go back to good, clear communication and understanding, getting out a clear message. One of the things that I heard here that has confused me, probably because I don't know a whole lot about it, but when we're talking about a salt marsh, the old bog isn't tidal. This marsh has tidal activity, but we also mentioned that we put a dike in to keep tidal activity out of it. So did we affect a salt marsh? And I'm only saying that because if I'm ignorant of the facts and don't know how the process is, if we're going to send out communications, I don't know how many people within the community who are affected by the smell, you know, actually understand that well. Because to me, that's saying the same thing. It's a double-edged sword, you know, that the salt marsh needs to have that tidal activity, but the dike we put in stopped the salt marsh. Or did I misunderstand what I heard?
Well, the dike and the floodgate is now removed. It's been removed for over 30 years. It doesn't exist, so it's open flow back and forth every time.
So the way it was 35 years ago.
Councilor Pratt?
I'm assuming, what that does sometimes, but I'm assuming that there is information that or resources out there in our community, in our county, that we could contact that may not cost us anything to try to get a little bit of knowledge about testing, and that we have the Mersey Tobiatic Research Institute with qualified people. We have the Dalhousie Agricultural College. They have students, they have people that may want to take this on as a project. They're doing that all the time in areas. So if we could get in contact with those people, it wouldn't cost us anything in the beginning to get this started and then maybe find out whether it's worth going forward. But if you talk about, and we're talking about taxpayers' dollars, it's going to cost up to $900,000 possibly to infill. I mean, those are just figures that are thrown in the air. But if we could just do a little bit of finding as to what's out in the community or in the province that might want to do a little bit of research, bring these people down. Ducks Unlimited is another one. They have, that's what they're involved in. So why can't we contact them to see if there isn't someone there that could come down and do a little bit of, you know, find out what's happening here and maybe provide a little bit of support.
There are certainly some groups that will provide the services and support for free to an extent, and there are others that will charge the minute they leave the door. But I would take your suggestion that there are an opportunity for the Region of Queens to find out more about the situation, and I would ask CAO or Chris McNeil if you would like to comment on how that may fold into the research staff. So
what are we testing?
Air quality, is there something in this, in whatever, what do you?
But we know in some cases that the air smells.
I can't believe you'd say that. There is a situation there. We're not accepting the smell. The smell is different. If we can determine if it's because of global, then we'll accept that. But right now, it's much different than it ever was.
I agree.
Isn't there someone that can test the air quality to determine whether it's toxic, not toxic, whatever? I mean, these are just fact-finding missions.
I guess from staff perspective, we're trying to incrementally do things to find the solution, to find the cause. And then once we find the cause, then we can deal with mitigation matters and costs and all that stuff. We have no idea what the cost is going to be until we know what the problem is.
Right.
And so we can bring in research people who can tell us, yes, it smells, or yes, the smell is methane, or yes, the smell is sulfur, or yes, the smell, but doesn't tell us what the problem is. And we can take soil samples and say, yes, that's soil and it's organic, but we don't know if that's what's leading us to the smell, because it's multiple things. It's the organic material, it's the water, whether it's the salt or the regular water, it's decomposing animals maybe, or fish, maybe air quality at a particular time. So there's all these different things that factor into it. It's not just one thing. And so to bring in people and say, well, test the soil, it's going to tell you one thing. But it's not going to take a bigger picture of all the things that are working
together. And so, as I said, staff are looking at, we're talking to experts, we're talking to people who have similar operations to see if they're experiencing the same thing. We're looking at our own systems, make sure our own systems are operating properly. We're doing flushing on our lines. We are doing research, we are doing things. And eventually when we come back and we find out what we believe is the problem, then staff will bring forward a report and say, here's what we think the problem is, and here's the options for solutions. Here's the cost, and council like the flooding on the waterfront, as you said, Councilor McLeod, taking us a long time to get there. We're still trying to get there, but we'll eventually say, here's the problem. We know what the problem is now, and here's the options, and we know they're all expensive. And so we'll do the same thing on this situation. But until we actually go through that process on an incremental basis, to simply just bring in a whole bunch of people to do testing, is probably going to tell us what we already know, which is that it smells, there's organic material there, we're operating a sewer treatment plant, here's all the testing levels, here's the standards, we're meeting those. It's not going to give us the problem. And so we think we're doing what we need to do to find what the problem is, so that we can then come up with a solution.
Well, my suggestion was that we don't have to spend a lot of dollars to start that process.
It's
by
correct.
Asking these experts who are doing it in studies, doing their own research.
Yeah. And we could not spend any money and do this and hire and get these people to come in as volunteers to do research for a year or two. And then we're going to be a year or two behind because we haven't spent any money and brought in the people that we need to bring in who are the technical experts that understand it, that aren't working in a lab, but are actually working in the field and understand the stuff on a day-to-day basis, dealing on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to people who are doing the theoretical stuff in the lab.
So that's your approach then, which I agree with. If we want to spend the dollars and the time and go through the full process, then I accept that.
But we're trying to do it incrementally, and it will cost us some money, but we're
yep.
wise with our money.
Yep.
We're not spending money that wisely,
yep.
But we're doing it a piece by a piece by a piece to find the solution, because as you said, we don't know what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's all kinds of symptoms
yep.
out there, different
right.
places, different things, but until we're able to pinpoint where the problem is,
right.
we can't find the solution.
Thank you, Chris. That's all we wanted to know, because up to this point, before you said that, we were believing that it was just accepted and nothing could be done unless it cost $900,000 to infill it. That might not be the solution. So now that we understand that you and your department and your role is starting to do things, and
we've always been doing things. And it's, I know we talk about communications, but it's not like you can give an update every day.
No.
We're working through it. And so right now we haven't found what the problem is, but we're still continuing to talk to people, do our research,
yep.
and look for different options.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we're testing little things. Like I said, we flushed some pipes to see if that made a difference. It did. We put some filters on some of the manhole covers to see if that made a difference. I don't think it did. So we're doing little things to try to find it. And so just it's not very time-consuming to try to keep reporting. We've done this, we've done this, we've done this. And everybody has lots of opinions on what we should do. I don't know what the answer is. So I don't have an opinion. All I know is we're doing it incrementally. Trying to do it fiscally responsibly, but at the end of the day, we know we can't continue to have that over year round.
And I think all council is at the mercy of whoever is, like our spokesperson is our mayor. So I think sometimes comments are made that it's just lightly taken and acceptable. So now I think the message should get out that we understand that there is a situation and we are going through all the technical avenues in order to determine if and what it is, and how, if it can be remediated.
And we're not going through all the technical
no,
aspects, just be clear, that we don't want to mislead the public. That
no,
we're,
okay, well,
we're,
whatever. That's
we're incrementally doing
incrementally
things that we think
yeah.
might have led to the smell,
right.
may have led to us. We're going one by one and checking it off.
Process
no, that
of
didn't
elimination.
Help us, so that's not the issue. Here's the second one. No, it didn't work. Now we'll go to the next one.
Process of elimination.
One small thing is that you, the one thing you said about it's always hard to know what to test for, right? You take it some dirt, and what are you looking for? But in the water itself, I know from out of the mill again, this is the same thing. I definitely wasn't the person, but I don't like to go around and look, I always like to look under the microscope and see what was there. And you could always tell how everything was by what type of bugs were there. And that it determined things differently. If everything was getting old, if it was getting, if you get up to amoeba, you got too far advanced. And by the population. So it can be, the things can be told by the water and what's there, you know, even what's growing there. And like I said, I was no expert in that, but I'd love to go and look at under the microscope to see what was all there. And Chris, could, who was there at the time, was the lab person, could be able to tell me, well, we're going to be in trouble soon because we got too many of these or too many of that or different things like that. So, so there's things you can test in the water and be able to compare to other places where it's tested to be able to see, you know, it could be determining something where we are compared to other people's, what water testing is.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? So we're continuing to work forward on this. It's not coming as fast as any of us would like, but as the CAO has stated, we're tackling one issue at a time. And at the end of the period, we'll have tested everything, and it's narrowed down to a few other options, which will require some professional service to find out exactly what it is and how it's mitigated. Okay, so we're through the report stage. Brings us to 15.0 in camera items. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Councilor Fancy, move to go in camera. Second is Councilor Pist. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Those opposed?
We have a question here from the gallery.
Yes, we're beyond the public question comment period, so I will address that once we take the recess.
Okay.
So we have a unanimous vote to go in camera. We will recess for 10 minutes.